Krishna is acting up a little bit and presenting a bit of a karma mimamsa philosophy. So today, text 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Svabhavatantro hi janaha. Svabhavam anuvartate. Svabhavastam idam sarvam. Sadivasura manusham. Svabhavatantro hi janaha. Svabhavam anuvartate. Svabhavastam idam sarvam. Sadivasura manusham. Vaishnavis, Svabhava of his conditioned nature. Tantraha, under the control. He, indeed, janaha, a person. Svabhavam, his nature. Anuvartate, he follows. Svabhavastham, based on conditioned propensities. Idam, this world. Sarvam, entire. Sa, together with. Deva, the demigods. Asura, the demons. Manusham, and humankind. Translation, this is Lord Krishna speaking to the Brijvasis, including his elders. They were organizing the yagya for Indra. He's trying to dissuade them and is presenting different reasons. So, translation. Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature, and thus it must follow that nature. This entire universe with all its demigods, demons, and human beings is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities. Purport by Vridhananda Maharaj and his team. Lord Krishna here elaborates upon the argument given in the previous verse. Since everything depends on svabhava, or one's conditioned nature, why bother worshipping God or the demigods? This argument would be sublime if svabhava, or conditioned nature, were all-powerful. But unfortunately, it is not. There is a supreme controller, and we must worship him as Lord Krishna will emphatically reveal in this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. For now, however, his content to these is relatives. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Sarakaya Chakshuramita Miratasme Shri Vrino Om Vishabhadaya Krishna Stavadaya Shumanjavataka Swami Namam Vishwapadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Krishna Nini Vishisa Sanyavadi Paschatta Dishatari Vansha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo. Translation again, if you like to repeat. Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature. And thus he must follow that nature. This entire universe, with all its demigods, demons and human beings, is based on the conditioned nature of the living entities. This concept of Svabhava, it's a very important concept. We find it many times in the Bhagavad Gita itself and now in the Bhagavatam. Svabhava, or one's own nature. Of course, we are talking about an acquired nature. Acquired nature according to the gunas. So it's not really swa in the sense own of the atma. But the person, the historical person, in touch with material nature, acquires a certain personality, certain tendencies. In fact, Lord Krishna, in the 18th chapter, when he describes the natural four divisions of human society, uses always these words, Svabhava. He describes the Brahmanas. And then it says, Brahma karma svabhava jam. This is the karma of the Brahmanas, or the activities of a Brahmana born of his own nature. Then he describes the quality of a Kshatriya. And then he says, Kshatriyam karma svabhava jam. This is the nature of, or activity function in society of a Kshatriya based on its svabhava. Same with the Vaishya. Vaishya karma svabhava jham. Shudrasya pi svabhava jham. Now, in devotional service, for those who practice bhakti yoga, a very important issue and often a potential tension is to differentiate on what aspect of our nature, acquired nature, is compatible with devotional service and even engageable in devotional service, and therefore something to be even cultivated and highlighted in our activities, and what are those aspects of our nature which are not compatible with devotional service and we need to work on removing on different levels of the personality. Like, for instance, for Arjuna, being a warrior, being a kshatriya, pure kshatriya, was not incompatible with devotional service. He could serve Krishna perfectly, and Krishna was very dear to him, and Arjuna was very dear to him, and his nature as a warrior, as a prince, was not an obstacle in his relation with Krishna. In fact, an obstacle to his progress or to his dharma was when he wanted to give up the kshatriya dharma and become non-violent, become a renunciant. That was something that was to be avoided. In fact, Lord Krishna preaches to him that, look, there's no point for you to abandon your kshatriya nature like that. Now, we need to, first of all, differentiate what is nature and what are habits. Because habits are also acquired, and some of them are totally artificial and totally unnecessary and totally anartha, totally unwanted. And so therefore our four regulative principles come to our help, because we know that those four regulative principles, or either those activities prohibited by four regulative principles, those are all anarthas. They are unnecessary and they are artificial habits. And because they are artificial, they can be given up, because nobody, real nature, is performing those activities. For instance, smoking. Srila Prabhupada explained, nobody smokes at the beginning of life. Babies, young children, don't have the tendency to smoke. They're not attracted to smoking. But then, due to association, then they take it up as a habit and they become addicted. In fact, tobacco was not known in this part of the world until after at least Christopher Columbus, right? I don't know when it was introduced in India, tobacco, the exact date. I don't know, is it Vasco da Gama? I don't know the history of tobacco in India. But since tobacco is known in India, since only maximum, 500 years. So nobody can say, it's my nature to smoke tobacco. Because it was not tobacco, so how can it be your nature? It's something really important, even geographically speaking or geopolitically speaking, in something important. Tea is also the same, right? Tea was imported by the British, right? Am I correct? So for thousands of years, nobody in India smoked tobacco in different forms, pipes or cigars or cigarettes, and nobody drank tea for thousands and millions of years, because there was not tea. But now the whole country is hooked to that. And millions and millions and millions of people, I'm not saying especially Mumbai, but a lot of people in Mumbai, they cannot function without their tea, without their smoking, and without their coffee, which is also imported from South America. So certainly nobody can rationally claim that smoking is my nature. It's an habit. Like drugs. It's an habit. Something that you impose, and then of course your body becomes addicted to that. Somehow everything toxic becomes addicted. You start adding toxic and then toxic elements to your body, and then the body keeps asking for it. Nicotine or alcohol, and it starts having symptoms of withdrawal if you don't give them to him. But again, it's all totally acquired. So at least we know very clearly that all the activities prohibited by the four regulative principles is not our swabhava, and they are incompatible with devotional service. And so we know. Of course, it may take some time to get rid of them. And we should be, of course, tolerant and patient with people who have been struggling and on these addictions for a long time, sometimes maybe for lifetimes. So, but we know that you cannot claim that it's part of your swabhava. So what is part of our swabhava? That's obviously an individual question to answer. For instance, I like this approach for training of the Chopati community, in which you have first this VTA, Vaishnava Training Academy, in which young men start living in the ashram, and they so become acquainted, familiar with the ashram situation, the ashram atmosphere, the ashram rhythms of life, and so on. Then they decide. At that time they decide if to become brahmachari. And they decide, do I want to live a life of ashram? Do I want to become a brahmachari, a at least for some substantial amount of years, or do I want to continue working and, you know, start a family and all that? So there is the person individually, with the help of the guides, they test themselves. Can I live in this lifestyle? Can I do this? Then if they decide, yes, let me go on, then you have the BT, the Brahmacharya training, another year in which they actually study more deeply the Shastra, they get the Bhakti Shastri, and so on. And then, if they graduate from that, now you have this Bhaktivedanta Vidyapit, where they go for 2 years to the farm, Govardhan eco-village, and they intensely study the books, Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lilamrita, and so on. So I like this approach because it gives the person the chance to test. It's not just grabbed, and it's not a nature imposing to him. It's given a chance. Srila Prabhupada here in Mumbai said, Vedic culture means everybody is given a chance to become a Brahmana. In other words, to live according to Brahminical lifestyle and principles. And even to become a teacher in society. So I like that. I like that approach. I find it very mature. I find it very sattvic. In some place, either because they are maybe short in manpower or something, as soon as somebody comes, it's kind of immediately installed as a brahmachari, and maybe that's not really his nature. And there are so many problems when you try to impose something upon people that it's not their nature. Okay? And so, Swabhava. Everybody has to understand. Sometimes we should not make the mistake that we think that what is actually good in us is bad and what is bad is good. Because we may also make that mistake. Like there is a letter in 72, I believe, that Srila Prabhupada writes to four Sankirtan devotees, four ladies. And it's interesting because it's to four ladies. So it's not just one personal instruction. So these ladies were a bit worried because they heard that the lady should be very chaste and very shy. But their service was to stop people in the street all day and trying to sell books, which is an activity which requires a lot of energy, a lot of assertiveness. And even a touch of aggressiveness. So Srila Prabhupada explains. He said, no, it's very good to be aggressive for Lord Chaitanya. I was also aggressive. I came to your country, nobody invited me. Nobody asked me to come, not even you boys and girls asked me to come. And I was aggressive. So it's good to be aggressive. People are going peacefully about their business and you stop them, you say, buy this Krishna book. But it's very good. And the point is that you have to discriminate between devotees and non-devotees. So when you're back in the temple with your God brothers, God sister, then you can be very shy. But when you're outside, you can be very aggressive. And he has also explained, if you use this aggressiveness in the service of the Lord, then it will be purified, and then it will be easier for you to be chaste and shy, submissive with your husband, with your spiritual leaders, and so on. So he saw this aggressiveness as a path to purification. In other words, it has to be very much encouraged in certain ways, like that. So we need to. That's a very individual choice, what aspect of our personality should be encouraged and what aspect should not be encouraged. And one thing also, one tension in ISKCON is that some people have a theory that, and they have some backup from Srila Prabhupada, I'm not saying they just made it up, But they have a theory that we should see the people, see if they belong to what varna they belong, and then we should just engage them in that varna, perhaps sometimes even without asking them too much sadhana. Because, well, they're like that, you know. And I see that in Chaupati, directly or indirectly, you do not subscribe very much to that philosophy or to that strategy. It seems that you, as a community, are actually encouraging or pushing, perhaps even we could say demanding in a benevolent way, that people come up in their spiritual standards. You ask, correct me if I'm wrong, you want to come to the yatra, you got to chant 16 rounds. Right? Still there? The rule is still there? Yeah? And so, it may even be counterintuitive. Somebody may think, well, you know, you want people to purify themselves, so you take into this yatra, and the association of the devotees, the association of the dham, will purify them. So some people may argue. But you have demonstrated that people can come up. If you give good reasons, and if you don't compromise, people do come up. And now you have yatras. I heard the next yatra next month is what, 8,000 people? Huh?
What? How many?
Registration is going on. Somebody told me you already booked all Vrindavan guest house. Huh? That's there. 3,000. But still, you got 3,000 people who just a few years... Somebody told me 8,000. Maybe that gentleman's swabhava was a little off. Anyway, so, thousands. One time you did 5,000, South India something, 5,000. So you get 5,000 people or more, plus you do different yatras at different times, it's not just one yet. So 5,000 people who just few years ago, most of them didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, and they couldn't even imagine in their wildest dream, I'll chant 16 rounds a day, and now chanting 60 rounds a day. Because you didn't compromise. You said, no. You had this philosophy, we could say, that no, these are souls. These are, they can chant Hare Krishna. Come on. So this is a process of socialization, and called in sociology or in psychology. Socialization means that people like to belong to a group. People like to belong to a group. Belonging to a group means that the values and the standards and the appreciation of one group is for them more important than the appreciation of another group. And people are, we could say, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they are between two spheres. There's a time in which they are in a marginal position, tathasta. They have their own families, their own background, their own caste, their own scene, and now they're moving to the Vaishnava community. So there is a moment in which they have to choose what values are important for me. Whom do I want to please? Whom do I want to be accepted by? So that time is very delicate, but it seems that somehow, by the energy, by the enthusiasm, by your conviction, many people very quickly jump from one social environment, cultural environment to the other. And they become socialized, they become integrated. And they don't go back. So, I like this. I like this philosophy that people can become good. Because that's a real swabhava. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunoi. Shavanadi shuddha chitte koro yudhoi. Eternally, this love of Krishna is inside. Sadhya kabunoi is not something imported, like tobacco or tea or coffee. It's something already inside. Shravanadhi, through the process of shravanam, kirtan, and so on, shuddha chitta, the mind is purified. And then, koroye udoy, that love, that affection comes out automatically, like sunrise, no? Rising in the morning. Okay. Up to what time we go? 9:15. Okay. Any questions so far? There's another section, but any questions so far?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So sometimes we hear that one cannot change one's swabhava. One is actually compelled by one's swabhava to act in a particular way. But then Srila Prabhupada says that I want to create a class of people who are brahmanas.
Uh-huh.
And we also see that that by samskaras, there is an example given, a bell metal can be turned into
What's that?
By samskaras, a person's nature can be changed.
Yeah.
And then we see the story of Mrigari also, that how he was a hunter, but he be a person who was so cruel, kind of, if we say that was his swabhava, but then he was reluctant to kill even an ant. So how do we...
So it seems you gave already your own answer. What's your question?
My question is, we hear that swabhava cannot be changed. Many people say one is forced to act by one swabhava. Better Krishna says you act as per your swabhava.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, that's the whole point. We need to understand what swabhava should not be changed. It's like, for instance, you may be by nature an intellectual. That's your nature. Like, psychophysically, you could say even genetically, you're an intellectual. You like to work with the brain more than the body, okay? So, that, after basic training, which is common to everybody, maybe that will be your service. You'll serve in that connection. Maybe you write books, or you translate books, or you explain books, or you teach. That would be your nature, right? So, you just purify the desire to do it for yourself. Okay? You come with some anartha. Maybe you're already intelligent, scholarly type, but before maybe you wanted to become famous. Okay? Now you don't want to become famous anymore. You want to glorify Krishna. You're not attached that your name be in the book, something like that. So you purify the material contamination of your swabhava, but your swabhava remains. Similarly, I mean, I give an example. I don't know if it's appropriate, but you have this devotee, what's his name? Parthasarathy Prabhu? He's a driver, still a driver? There was a driver here who took initiation. His name was Parthasarathy or Sarasarathy. Okay, see, you have 2-3 drivers that initiated, but they are still drivers, right? See, you see that. They're drivers. Maybe there's swabhava. Or they are, you know, vahanas. Or what, you know, I don't know if you can say vahanas for drivers. But that's their nature. I don't know them personally. But that's their role and natural role in society. Okay? A role is as assistant. Okay? Somebody that needs to go somewhere, he will drive. And needs skills. It needs skills, need sense control, needs patience, need resilience, especially to drive in Mumbai. Okay? They need some quality. So then they purify that, but they still remain drivers. Okay? I don't know this particular three, but see, you have, because they come as drivers, and they don't become something else, they don't become intellectuals, because that's not their swabhava. But their lives become brahminical. Because if they are initiated, I suppose you ask them, and they will spontaneously practice getting up in the morning, being clean, taking a bath, chanting 16 rounds, eating only vegetarian foodstuffs offered to Krishna, reading the scripture, attending lectures, and in some cases, I'm sure they will also preach to others, right? So that's a brahminical lifestyle. The occupation may not be brahminical, but the lifestyle is brahminical. And once Srila Prabhupada, at least once, said, the soul is a brahmana. Brahma janititi brahmana. The soul is meant to know Brahman. You follow? That's their nature. They're made for each other. Krishna, Brahman, Parabrahman, and the soul, Atma Paramatma. They're made for each other. So when you purify that forgetfulness of Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha,
then the nature may be, okay, you're a driver, you remain a driver, but you drive for Krishna, and you try to do it with bhakti, you try to please the devotees. But when you go home, you also chant Hare Krishna and all that, but basically you do everything as an initiated devotee. Your life is brahminical. So if you're intellectual, you remain intellectual. If you are like a leader, maybe a visionary or a manager, you can also do that. Is that a little more clear? So there's no contradiction. Because the devotees maintain the, we could say, personality, like Arjuna is a warrior, okay? So they may have certain tendencies that can be used in the service of Krishna, but as a personal lifestyle, they are brahminical. Okay? Like that. So, the other section is about children. Because for us, more or less, I mean, we are all adults here, I guess. So we have born already, and we had a few years of childhood, and then we went to school, some schooling of some sort, and then we went maybe more schooling, and then maybe more schooling. Anyway, and some of us have worked in the world, some of us have done different things. So for us, it's really, in one sense, it's not a real big issue. We know we need to chant Hare Krishna and to study, and then we engage in devotional service as much as possible. Okay? But children is a big issue because sometimes, although we are very clear with what to do with the adults, we're not very clear what to do with the children. And so why with the adults, we are very, again, uncompromising in a benevolent, in a positive way. We're very clear. This person can chant 16 rounds. I'm sure you're clear. Anybody who steps in from that door can chant 16 rounds. Are you convinced about that? Anybody. Somebody's stepping out now. Anybody who steps in from the door can chant 16 rounds. With proper guidance, with proper association. Of course, they have to put their own free will and they put their own effort, but they can do it. So, with this clarity, now sometimes the other question is what to do with the children. Because Srila Prabhupada was very, very clear. He wanted a Gurukul system. He wanted traditional Gurukuls. He spoke of that in the Bhagavatam itself. He says in the seventh canto, Gurukula, it's one of the most essential program. We tried in the 70s, in the 80s, was not a great success. In fact, was quite a clamorous failure. Was a bit of a fiasco. So, as a society, I'm talking in general, we are a little wary. Many people in our society gave up on the idea of Gurukul. And in fact, I see when I bring up the idea of Gurukul, immediately people start objection. Oh, but this happened. Oh, but that happened. What if that happened? What if this other thing happened? Obviously, that attitude we could do with anything. Even opening a temple. We know we open a temple in Bangalore, and the fellow who opened the temple then stole the temple. And created his own ISKCON and created his own little empire and everything. But when we talk about opening temples, nobody goes, oh, but what about Bangalore? What about Calcutta? There was another fellow, less successful, was trying to steal the temple. He didn't get to that. So certain things we are kind of okay, no? Because, okay, we don't have much objections. We know there will maybe some obstacle, but we don't think of the obstacles. But when you come to Gurukul, wow, you know, there's this, wow, there's immediately like the atmosphere freezes. No, everybody, and there's so many objections. This can happen, that can happen, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And so kind of, it's killed. The idea is killed right there. And then, what is our alternative? Our alternative often, our communities, and I'm talking in general of the Holy Spirit, not only of this community, our alternative is to follow, in terms of education for children, the culture and the ideas of the outside culture, the mundane. And especially in India, I can tell you, because maybe because I come a little bit from outside, so I see a little bit things in it. Maybe you are here, so you see, you live here, but I don't, I mean, I live also here, but I've been different places. So when I come to India, I see that the attitude towards education is very artificial. People generally, if they can afford it, they want all children to become either engineers or doctors. And this is against nature, it's against swabhav. If somebody has the nature of an engineer, of course, let him be an engineer. We need engineers, we need people who build bridges and buildings and other things. We need people who do some computer programming and things. I'm not saying that we don't need engineers. But not that everybody is an engineer, but there's swabhava. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was born, Nanda Maharaj sees his horoscope. And Srila Prabhupada says every gentleman, every father should, I'm paraphrasing here, but he says has the duty to find out the horoscope of the child for the child's happiness. In other words, he has to know what is the swabhav of the child. Now the parents just try to impose a swabhav or a karma and an occupation which may not be in the nature of the child. And not only something that is not in the nature of the child, but it's something imposed from outside. It's an idea that we get from outside. I understand somebody, I don't agree, but I understand somebody, you know, parents always have a high estimate of their children, even if, you know, they're generally overestimating their children. I understand if somebody says, my child should become like Arjuna. At least it comes from the Vedic culture, you follow? But for parents, devotee parents to say, my child should become an engineer, should become a doctor, without checking the swabhav, it's really off. It's really off. I know one person, this is an initiated devotee from your community, not in this city, in one of the various satellite cities, you supervise, so I won't tell you the name of the city, at least not in public. But there was one lady, initiated devotee in your community, came to my wife, who is a professional astrologer, among other things, and she said, Mataji, you know, Mataji, I have a big problem. I have a very, very big problem with my son. It's a very big problem. You need to help me, please, please. And then my wife thought maybe this boy is, I don't know, handicapped or retarded or some other serious problem, no? So then he said, okay, I'll come to your home, we'll talk, we'll see the chart, we'll see. We'll see the boy, we'll see the chart. So my wife went to the house of this lady, and at that time the boy came back from school. And the boy was completely healthy, enthusiastic, he jumped the gate, he was dancing, he was singing. So my wife felt relieved. There's nothing wrong with this boy. And the mother said, you know, I'm trying my best to make him into an engineer. But he's always drawing. And then he opened the school bag. It was full of drawing. He likes to draw. He likes to paint. And I cannot, I don't know how to stop him. I'm paying lakhs, different astrologers. They did Homa. They did they're selling me stones. It's initiated devotee, yeah? And they said, I'm spending money, like rivers of money, to make him into an engineer. And somehow nothing works. He's always drawing. First of all, the boy was only 8, so it's kind of a little early to become an engineer when you are 8 years old. But anyway, and her motivation was, in our family, everybody is an engineer. What will think if he doesn't become an engineer? And she was really suffering intensely. What would be, what kind of social stigma? What a shame if he doesn't become an engineer. So then my wife saw the chart, and this boy is a natural artist. He can do drama, he can do a choreography, he can do, you know, it's an artist. That's his nature. That's his swabhav. Okay? It's creative. No, he can express different feelings and different concepts through art. And that's his nature. That's what he's born to do it. So, why try to change? And of course, he can be very happy doing that. And of course, we all know, I mean, we are in Mumbai, we are in Bollywood. Artists can also become very rich. Artists doesn't mean they have to be poor. They can be very rich, very influential. And we need in society, we need photographers, we need painters, we need choreographers, we need film directors, drama directors, drama troupe organizers, managers. We need, because society needs also art. So why, if your child is an artist by nature, so it's so good, I mean, in one sense, it already is manifesting. Sometimes you have children that you don't know what they are. But he's 8 years old, he's already clear what he can do all his life. And he can do it for Krishna. But, so we have this idea that no, he has to become an engineer. And this creates a lot of fear in the parents, a lot of pressure on the child, and then maybe very serious psychological, even physical problems. Because when you force people to do something that they are not, it's against nature. Against nature means against God, against the will of God. And Krishna says very clearly after these verses, I quoted, no? Swabhava Jan, Brahmana Kshatra Vaishya Shudra. He says, Sve Sve Karmani Adbhirata Sam Siddhim Labhate. Ranaraha. By following his quality of work, every man can become perfect. Sve sve karmani. See the emphasis? Sve sve karmani abhirata. By following, sam siddhim labhate param. Sam siddhim, not just siddhim, sam siddhim labhate param. So, as a society, I'm talking about ISKCON in general, we need to train our parents in this understanding. Otherwise, we have a kind of dichotomy. You know, for adults, we have a certain culture, which is very healthy, especially in this community. Everybody chants, everybody... No, there are certain demands. Demands in a sense, emphasis, very cultural, very strong cultural influence for adults. And then for children, they are basically victims of the outside culture. Which is weird. Girls study, often they study for many years only to get a quote-unquote good husband. Right? Many girls, they had to get a degree, otherwise they don't get a husband with a degree. Am I right? And many of those girls do not plan to use those skills because they want to get married, have children and stay at home. But they had to study for years and years and years, something that they may don't like, something that they hate, so then they can get a husband who some degree. Because a husband who has a MA, a master, won't marry a woman who doesn't also have a master, and so on. And this is all artificial, it's all craziness. So at least in our community, we should get away from this craziness. Both for girls and for boys. I mean, for everybody. Okay, these are some considerations on Swabhava. Thank you for your attention. We have 5 minutes. Any question? Mr. Prashna.
Hare Krishna. So, how many kind of swabhavas are there? I have thought that there are four kind of broadly. Is it that there are more than that? I thought there are four kind of swabhavas. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Are there further subdivisions of that or what exactly?
Of course, there are many, many subdivisions. Just between Shudras, there are many, many subdivisions. Not all Shudras are the same. Some Shudras are great artists. They create masterpieces. They can perform very highly. Some Shudras are very qualified. They serve the king. They're daily with the king. Like even in the modern day, some PA of some president, no, or the queen of England, the personal assistants, I don't know what they call it, they're Shudras, but they must be very, very prepared. They know the etiquette, they know the protocol. You follow? And then there are Shudras, of course there are hundreds and thousands of Shudras. There are Shudras who are carpenters, there are Shudras who make statues, no, stapatis and so on. So there are thousands of type of Shudras. The Shudras would deal with milk, selling milk and things like that. There are hundreds of types. And traditionally in India, each one was a caste. Shudras would deal with goats. They are taking care of the goats. Like I think Kanakadasa, the great Kanakadasa was a goat herder. Then, of course, they say it was Vidura. But, you know, yes. There are many natures. Like Chanakya Pandit is a Brahmana, but obviously has that nature, as also as a politician. You know, he was the prime minister of the empire of Chandragupta. Some Brahmanas, they don't like to do those things. They just don't have the... They don't want to do those things. So obviously, there is a general classification, but within those classifications, there are many, many, many subdivisions. Yes. Vaishyas themselves, some deal with cows, some will deal with gold, no? Suvarna, Vanik, and so on. Some they just deal with gold, some just deal with cows. Some they trade. No, there are so many divisions. So time is up. So we stop here, huh? Unless, huh? Should we take another question or not? Okay. First, state your swabhav before asking the question. I'm joking.
Harish, Roji, you said that we have to save ourselves from this outside influence, like. There is, as you said, in India, people wants to become engineer or doctor, right? But because we are staying with the society, and our group is very less, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, so we cannot get rid of it, because we have to stay in the society, we have to earn also our livelihood. There is no other way of earning. So how practically it is possible to practice Krishna consciousness and parallelly stay with the society? But like in Gurukul also in Wada, they have this CBSE syllabus, which is our Maharashtra State Board. Mm-hmm. State Board. And parallelly they give devotional topics also, they teach boys. Mm-hmm. So how practically it is possible?
If there is the will, there is the way. You know, Henry Ford, who is the grand-grandfather of Ambarish Prabhu. So generally we say Ambarish Prabhu is the great-grandson. Henry Ford was the great-grandfather of Ambarish Prabhu. That was his main qualification. He said, if you think you can, or if you think you cannot, you're right both ways. You're right both ways. Because if you think you cannot, you cannot. And if you think you can, you're right, because you can. So if we start the whole discussion that no, it's impossible, you use the word impossible, no, it's impossible, okay, it's impossible. You define it's impossible, so you won't even try. I don't believe it's impossible. I think it's possible, and not only, but we have the duty to do it. And we're already doing it to a large extent. We're already doing it to a large extent. What happens here is not following the dictates or the standards, cultural standards of outside. We are here to change society. Srila Prabhupada wanted temples in the center of the city, not that so that we learn how to live like the city dwellers. Srila Prabhupada wanted the temples so that we can influence people. And again, as I said, when you're an adult, maybe that's all you can do. Maybe that's all you can do. That's all you can do. You can just write computer programs. That's all you can do. Because that's all you can do. And maybe your swabhava to be a brahmana, was to be a kshatriya, was to be a vaishya, but now they condemn you to be a shudra. Computer programmer is a shudra. An engineer is a shudra. Let's understand that. So what are we saying? That we cannot survive unless we all become shudras. If you say so, if you think so, you may want to consider there may be some deep lack of faith in God. I mean, we heard millions of times, right? God feeds also the elephants. I mean, how many times we heard that? You know? But we don't believe it. Because we think in our mind, somehow that gets translated into God feeds the elephant, but he won't feed you if you're not an engineer. That's how it translated in our mind. And it's not your fault. I mean, you've been brainwashed for all your life, practically. I mean, I don't know you, but if you are similar to the average Indian boy, educated boy, you've been brainwashed. And so you think it's impossible to survive if you don't serve somebody else. If you don't get a job from somebody. It's impossible. I suggest you take a few steps back, look at a little bit from a more cosmic perspective. You know, God creates the world and then puts different people, different swabhavs, you know, and people can actually operate in their swabhav. There's not that something changed in the universal plan, no? That now Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas cannot survive anymore unless you become a Shudras. So please take a look. This is an anomaly, a cultural, intellectual anomaly, economic anomaly. It's an anomaly. I strongly believe we can create a mentality in our communities that people can live and flourish according to their swabhav, without having to, you know, being forced into something they are not because the society says so, or because the society thinks so. You know. And you see this, that often the dropouts is those who are making millions of dollars. You know, Bill Gates was a dropout and all, you know, because they think out of the system. Otherwise, Bill Gates, if he was not thinking out of the system, would be just a clerk somewhere, you know, working for somebody. And instead there are thousands of people working for himself. Not that everybody will become Bill Gates, but the sense of independence, we need to give this, culturally speaking, we need to give the sense of independence. Look at the books. I mean, look at the books. Srila Prabhupada say, a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya will never accept employment. They'd rather starve. They'd rather starve. You follow? It's like a kshatriya would rather die than accept defeat. And instead, what culture are we accepting? No. You have to become a shudra, work for somebody, otherwise you won't survive. I would like to see this idea well established. And our children, we should see first what they are. That's like parenting 101. You should see first what they are. And then according, not that you have some idea gotten from some asuras, okay? And then you impose those ideas on your children. We are doing a lot of violence on our children, our own children. We are all doing a lot of violence. We are imposing something that is not their nature. We should stop a minute and say, what's their nature? It's an artist. Okay, Harry Ball, great. Great for him, great for the community. We'll make a beautiful place. We'll all enjoy. Right? Can make a movie, make millions of dollars. Not while you are writing code for some, American company. Anyway. Thank you very much for your attention. Grantarashima Bhatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Vision for the Economy and Sociology of the Krishna Consciousness Movement Ki. Jai.